Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Today, we zero in on roses and have a great guest for you. Lois Ann Helgeson is a master rosarian, will be speaking at the North Central District Convention and Rose Show in Pewaukee this weekend. So we'll talk about that rose show a little bit with her as well, but also talk with her about roses, growing them, taking care of them, enjoying them, what's so great about roses, all those things and a whole lot more. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along today. And even maybe you can send some photos to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to see some of your rose pictures or maybe some other issues that you have relating to your roses that you want to show us. The number to call, though, is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post your question or your photograph right there. And Lois Ann Helgeson with us in our Milwaukee studios, from our Milwaukee studios. Lois Ann, you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Great to have you with us. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much. What is a rosarian? I saw that term and I said, you know, I don't know that term. What is a rosarian?
The American Rose Society has coined the term rosarian to kind of put a label on some of us who have been around a long time and are willing to share our experiences and willing to help out new growers and people who are just interested in roses. So I guess that's where it comes from. We have a group of us that actually go out and speak to people, that we write articles, we communicate in any number of ways, this way today included, just as a way of helping other people to become better growers or to make better selections, learn more about what they want to learn so that they can grow roses.
So you're sort of like a master rose person, like a master gardener in a way.
Well, I'm on one of those too.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's what I figured that. Well, how large is the rose family?
There's close to 50 different classifications and groupings of roses, and probably today there's probably close to 7,000 different varieties that are out there. Some of them are very difficult to locate or impossible to locate today, but there's basically people should understand that there's almost an infinite variety, a number of varieties that they could pick from.
Yeah. And they grow, do they grow almost anywhere, or?
Well, originally, all roses came from about 100 different species varieties. In other words, the simple varieties that grow wild in nature. And believe it or not, all 100 of those originated in the Northern Hemisphere.
No. That's a little surprising, given the fact that people sometimes have trouble growing them or raising them here in the northern climes.
Well, that's originally everything is in the northern half of the world. And, of course, they've spread all over at this point, but I just always found that was an interesting piece of trivia.
You mentioned all the many varieties. What are the basic types that people should, you know, maybe zero in on or know the most about?
Well, generally, most of us find our introduction to roses are those from the florist. And generally, those are the modern hybrids, the Floribundas, Grandifloras, and hybrid teas. And we can grow those. That's what really got me interested in roses in the first place. However, today in our northern climates, we're looking for easier gardening. And many times people will want to do less spraying, less just plain less work. Roses will always be more work than a lot of other types of gardening. But the modern shrubs that have come out have built into their genetics a factor for hardiness that you don't find in the florist-type roses. And so they've become very popular, and it seems to be that's the trend.
Yeah, it does seem to be that way. Why? How do you get so passionate about them? Why are you so passionate?
They just kind of grow on you. I kind of find that it's a big stress reliever to go out and garden, and I've been doing this for about 40 years. And I just, other people refer to it as my obsession. And it just kind of grows on you. You just seem like it's something that you have to have. I have, starting in the spring all the way until the end of October, I have fresh roses in the house almost all the time.
Now, tell us about your rose garden.
I grow something of just about every one of the classes, and that's because I think that I also want to understand how they grow and what they're like, what the different classes are like, including the ones that supposedly we can't grow here in the north. I grow the Menaway, and I have about 600 rose bushes in my garden, and I have a tendency to gravitate toward collections of different, specific different kinds. For instance, I grow essentially all of the Canadian hardy roses that have been developed, the new shrubs. I grow most of the available Dr. Griffith Buck roses from out of Iowa. And my most recent obsession for collecting has been the hybrid perpetuals, which are the forerunners to the hybrid teas. And that's what I'm speaking on at the convention.
Oh, and the convention, you're looking forward to that, I bet.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just the roses. It's a lot of friends and other people who share the same passions.
We had an email from Ryan who says, I'm a new resident in Milwaukee, and I'm very interested in planting some roses. Never planted them before, and I'm wondering if I can still put them in this fall.
You could, but I would, if they're potted, and if you're going, if you find some of the very hardy modern shrubs, you might be able to do that successfully. Generally, we advise in the north to plant roses in the spring, partially because that with our harsh winters, they don't get a chance oftentimes to get their roots established before they're stressed out with the winter. So, you know, if he wants to take a chance, that's fine. Otherwise, knowing that you'll have a better chance of success if you would wait till spring.
Okay. And a Facebook comment from Ross, who says, my climbing rose is a Japanese beetle magnet. They can devour the flowers.
Oh, yes. Japanese beetles are our newest plague, essentially, for the rose world. We happen to have one of the tastiest plants for the Japanese beetle. There's a lot of information out there on Japanese beetles that I'm sure some of the people have heard about or have tracked down or been looking for solutions. And I certainly have been dealing with them in my garden as well. Japanese beetles came to this country. In fact, they were introduced accidentally into New Jersey in, I think, about 1916. So they've been around quite a while. They've just been gradually moving west. It's difficult because the Japanese beetles in the Midwest here do not have their natural predators or their natural controls. So we are trying to deal with a problem without that type of a help. Even on the East Coast, they don't have as much of a problem with them as they do here. In Japan, where they originate, they don't have as much of a problem because, in fact, they're not considered a major pest even. We can do some chemical applications and things that help some, but generally it's not recommended unless you have a very severe infestation and then you seek out the help of your extension department or someone that can help you, direct you to the appropriate, chemical that you can use. Neem oil products help some, but generally the recommendation is, unless all else fails, is just to plain take a container, put dish soap, plain old liquid dish soap in some water, and take a stick and knock the little suckers off into the water, and they drown.
Yeah,
you can reduce the number of these little pests on your plants by going out during the day, especially the warm part of the day, and just knocking them off. I'm not saying that this is a perfect solution, and I can honestly say that I was plenty disappointed to find that some of my potentially show blooms for this weekend were totally chewed up.
No.
So, yeah, but, you know, they don't come out until the middle of the summer. So, for instance, for those of us who want to show roses, most of our shows are before the time of the year when the beetles come out to feed. And so, you know, we get a half the summer at least without having these guys bothering us. And then by sometime here in September now, they disappear again. So we either have to learn to live with them until there are better controls out there, or
there's a little bit of there's a little bit of not self-selection, that's the wrong term, but what's happened across Wisconsin in certain parts, mm-hmm. the beetles who have been here for about, the last many years in southern Wisconsin are not as big a problem as they were originally, and that seems to be the case across the country, that there's some sort of leveling out that happens. But the first years of their arrival in an area, there are big problems.
I've also heard that there may be a cycle that they go through, that some years they will be worse than other years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know
whether
how
have
this
something
is going
to
play
out.
That.
Yeah.
Very possibly.
Caller Vivian from Green Bay wondered if any of the new hybrids have the potential to become invasive.
No. I have not seen
word.
That happen. The closest thing to roses that some people might label invasive are some of the old Gallicas that do sucker a bit. But even in some of the worst case scenario, that where I have a few of those that sucker, running the lawnmower across the suckers takes care of them. But it's not like it's a real huge problem.
Talking today with Lois Ann Helgeson, who is a master rosarian and will be speaking at the North Central District Convention and Rose Show in Pewaukee this weekend. It runs the 26th through the 28th. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Certainly inviting your questions and comments as we move along today. You grow roses. What are your favorite varieties? Any problems with them? What are some of the joys of raising them? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question or a comment or even a photo on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking roses today on this edition of Garden Talk with Lois Ann Helgeson, our master rosarian, who's from Minnesota, so she knows how to raise and grow roses in cold climates. And she's happy to answer your questions when you call or email in. Email at talk@wpr.org. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. And again, go to the Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a comment or question or a photo right there. Fran in Columbus, we will turn to you now. Hi, Fran.
Hi, you were just talking about shrub roses becoming invasive. And I may have the first invasive shrub rose. I have a Therese Vanier that is in a flower bed that's probably, at least 15 by 8 feet. And it is coming up in every corner of the flower bed. It's just taking over the flower bed. It's coming up in the grass. Even where I mow it off, it continues to come up. I have cut the shoots off, the runners off, and cut them off maybe a month ago. They're now 2 feet tall.
And what type is this again? I'm sorry.
It's a Therese Bunyet. It's spelled B-U-G-N-E-T.
Okay, well, let's see what...
That's an extremely hardy rose. It's, in fact, I think you can grow it out up to zone 2.
Yes, yeah.
It's I have not seen that one sucker to that extent before, but I suppose you're providing ideal conditions. Do you happen to know if it's you have a grafted variety of the plant or if it's on its own roots?
I have no idea. I purchased it many years ago. It's probably been in this flower bed at least 15 years. And the runners appear to be true to the parent plant.
All right.
Okay.
There are, you know, there's almost any kind of different kinds of plants that we have. If you give some certain ones ideal conditions, there's times that they will do things that you don't expect.
Do you have any suggestions on how to control it?
You could probably dig down almost like a trench around it and just cut off some of the potential stuff for the runners. But I don't know. It depends on how invasive or how disagreeable you find the situation. That is not one that I would have ever put on a list as being invasive, because mine doesn't.
It's out competing oregano, bee balm, Russian sage.
Oh, man.
Well, it's obviously a lot much bigger plant than the ones that you're mentioning, the herbs. So in that sense, once it's established, it would certainly could hold its own.
So if you're saying, Fran, that if you trenched around the plant itself and cut off the runners at the plant or near the plant?
Well, you could do some of that to slow it down, but I don't know. You know, if you find it very objectionable, you might just consider either moving that plant somewhere else or at that point even giving it away or getting rid of it. But
it is so out of hand at this point that I'm going to have to move the flower bed. That's the only thing I can figure out. When I see it's coming up in every corner of the flower bed, it's just almost taken over.
It just, like I said, that's not one that I've ever would have put on a list as being, aggressive.
Well, you might.
Because I grow the plant myself, and I mine doesn't do that.
Oh, no.
Well, the other option probably is doing away with the plant altogether.
Right, right.
Which you can do, in this case.
I do have a couple of my roses that I have plucked out of beds that they've been in with other roses, simply for the fact that I think that they're taking more than their allotted space, and I put them, what I say, in the back 40, which means back by the power pole, so that they can do what they want at that point because they're not, overgrowing a bed. But obviously, right, somebody has to separate on this in your case, I think.
Thanks, Rand. Good luck.
Yes, good luck.
Diane in Plymouth will turn to you next. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I remember my grandmother having a beautiful red climbing rose, and I was trying to get something like that. I was wondering if there's a good source of heirloom roses anywhere.
Most of our, I know there are nurseries here in Milwaukee because I have actually frequented a number of them, but they're most of our best sources for roses are to go mail order, as far as if you're going to try to get the widest variety and some decent plants. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these are places like Vintage Gardens out in Sebastopol, California, or Reagan Nursery. Down in, trying to think if it's Hayward, California. There's a number of different ones that the American Rose Society, I believe, even has places where you can locate other sources. But yes, there are places that do still carry a pretty darn nice variety of selection of plants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Bill in Green Bay, we are turning to you now. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I've got some climbing roses that I've had in the house. Well, I bought the house 7 years ago, and they've never bloomed. They all look nice and healthy. They grow to be 10 or 12 feet tall, but never get a flower or a bud or anything on them.
Okay.
What I suspect is that you have something that's borderline hardy, and there are a certain number of the climbers especially that are perhaps one-time bloomers, spring bloomers. That sounds like what you have. And if they are not hardy enough so that the buds survive or that the old wood survives from year to year in good shape, you won't get the flowering buds on them in the spring. So you'd probably end up with a very mild winter before you would get some.
Okay. Well, I've been cutting them down every fall. Should I just wrap them up and lay them down and then see if they grow on the old wood?
Yes, because something tells me you're cutting off all the potential for the spring bloom.
Okay. I'm trying to remember if I did that one year. I know this year I treated it, too, with something because somebody told me some kind of bug could have been eating them before they bloom,
I'm guessing that the cold is what's killing off the budwood.
Don't cut them down, just mulch them good, and then what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Give it a shot, Bill. See what happens. Ken in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Ken.
Hi. I have two questions, please. I have a Mr. Lincoln that it seems to have reverted back to a climber, and it's just all over the place now, and I'm really surprised. I've never had that happen, and I'm wondering, how do I take care of this? Is there a way of getting it back to its original form?
Now, does the climbing form that you have, does that still bloom like Mr. Lincoln?
It really blooms more like a climber or a floribunda.
Rootstock, okay. Thing.
Yeah, my concern is that there's two things that could happen. One, it could be reverting to rootstock. In other words, you could have lost the actual top that's Mr. Lincoln.
Right.
And so that you only have the rootstock blooming. And there is a red blooming rootstock, Dr. Huey. And the other thing is it's possible there are sometimes plants will sport to a climbing version. And once it's done that, you have a climbing version of that plant, and you're not going to be able to change that either. But, you've got to decide that if it is the rootstock, in other words, if you're not getting the nice, almost florist-looking hybrid tea, dark red Mr. Lincoln blooms, then you probably have the rootstock blooming.
Okay, so maybe I'll just transplant that and put it on a trellis. The other question I have is, I'm a relatively new transplant here to Milwaukee. I have never had a rose die before. We came from Michigan, so I'm not unfamiliar with this type of climate. I have had a Chrysler Imperial die. I guess it was over the winter, and then I tried to had a little bit coming back in the spring, and I just could not rejuvenate this. Is there something that we need to be more aware of here in Milwaukee in order to protect the roses a little bit better than am I missing something here?
Yeah, it's called cold weather.
But I'm used to that. I don't know.
But what growing zone were you in Michigan?
We were just north of Detroit.
So
do you know what growing zone that would be?
I think the same growing zone.
Yeah, I think it's right, almost right straight across the state.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Milwaukee is sort of zone 5, borderline zone 5. The hybrid teas, the Chrysler Imperial, the Mr. Lincoln, these are, if some people, if they have a really good location where these plants are situated well, luckily, just almost by accident, they're able to grow them without a lot of winter protection. Most of the time, I still believe that here in Milwaukee that those are very borderline hardy, which meaning that most growers will have to do something out of the ordinary to keep them over winter. And maybe I should back up and tell you that in Minnesota, where I am, we're zone 4. We bury all of those roses for the winter. I bury about 300 roses.
No.
How do you do that with mulches and things like that?
I know. I dig a trench and I put the plant in it, and then I put the soil back, and then I put
really?
the, okay. than the mulch on top. And they do come through because I wouldn't want to start buying new every year. But there are people here who do use, some of them use those cones, the styrofoam cones, but you have to be careful. In the spring, it can get too hot under them.
Right.
There are some that will put like a cage around them with wire and put mulch in them. Maybe one of the things that you can also do is, as you go into winter, mound some soil around the graft union, because that's where all new growth comes from.
Right.
And you don't want that to be affected by the cold or for that part to die, because that's when you get the plant to revert to the rootstock.
Yeah. Right.
So it would be enough to protect the or surround the plant with like a burlap fencing or something, you know, like just surround it with burlap, because I really don't want it to get too warm on those sunny days and have condensation and then
There are, like I said, the Wisconsin Rose Societies do some things a little bit different than we do in Minnesota, but basically what you need to do is protect that graft union. Some people will actually plant that just a slight bit underground,
right.
so that again, you have some protection for that all-important graft union.
And that's what I've always done.
Yeah.
And you might add some additional soil and definitely mulch and stuff around there. You might consider creating some kind of a little, I don't know how to describe it, like a round little fence around the plant and then fill that with mulch. I'm not sure how much more what particular location that you have or what you'd have to do.
Yeah.
But you definitely have to protect that graft union.
All right. Real good. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'll turn to Jim in Delafield next. Jim, hello.
Good morning. Question. Just planted this week knockout roses, and they're winter hardy here in Wisconsin,
yes.
from what I understand. And should I fertilize them yet this
No.
week?
No.
Okay.
After August 15th, approximately, don't fertilize anything with nitrogen.
Okay.
Because what you don't want to do is have new growth start, because that at this point it will be too tender to make it through winter.
Okay.
We refer to the maturing of the canes as being hardening off,
okay.
and you want to allow enough time before winter sets in for the canes to harden off and for the growth to slow down, so that you don't have this real tender growth when the cold hits. The real tender stuff won't make it through winter.
All right.
But you do what you definitely want to water.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a totally different issue.
Right.
And watering later than most, you know, a lot of times I think people kind of quit in the sort of early mid fall, but you really do want to go through it late, don't you?
Yes.
Lois Ann? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. In fact, even it was just with the idea of growing roses, period. Watering with roses is probably the most important thing that you can do.
Okay. Is now I heard you mention that it's late to plant roses. Am I a little late?
Well, it's a bit late, but you're also planting something that's relatively hardy.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that you had potted plants.
Correct.
The first winter especially, I would mulch them rather heavily.
Okay.
Just in the sense that they're not going to be established as well as you would like them to be, and they're probably going to need a little bit of help getting through winter.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We're talking about propagating. Chuck in Green Bay wondered, can roses be propagated from seeds, and if so, how?
You can, but you're not going to, you know, it's a toss-up as to what you're going to get. Generally, you're not going to get nothing, you'll get nothing, absolutely nothing that you know There's no. It's a gamble. It's one of those things that some of us do just for fun or for experimenting or for trying to create a new variety. You can't take seeds from one plant and unless it's a species rose, and try to come up with something the same. I mean, you're certainly not going to take it from any of the modern hybrids or from the modern shrubs. Anything, you will not get anything that you'd recognize, absolutely.
Yeah, it has to do with appearance.
And it's a rather involved process. You have to, they need a period of cold, the seeds do, it's not something you just quickly go out and spread the seeds. It doesn't work that way.
Marcy in Wausau, we're on to you now. Hi, Marcy.
Hi there. I'm calling about two questions about rose. I have a rose, I call it Grandma Roses, because at one time this rose variety, I think it's like old-fashioned or something, was surrounding the whole yard. Now that all that's left is it's by the porch, and I'm trying to baby it, kind of. But the issue is, this year the leaves kind of turn yellow, then turn brown, and I see they're falling off, you know, so it's like denuded right now. It had some, a modicum amount of rose flowers earlier, but I'm just wondering why and what to do. And then the other question is about pruning the bush itself. If something's dead, should I do that?
Normally, first of all, the pruning, normally what with roses, especially here in the upper Midwest, we don't recommend doing a lot of pruning, especially in this fall. Pruning promotes new growth, and the last thing you want in the fall is to promote growth. Pruning in the spring, you can prune out anything dead. You can prune to shape the plant. That's pretty much the ideal time to do it. And most roses don't, here in our climate, don't need heavy pruning, except, you know, like pruning out the dead material that, you know, whatever you've lost over winter. Mm-hmm. Because our plants, for the most part, aren't quite as vigorous as they are in some other parts of the country. You know, we're not trying to control the size of them generally, except as that one lady who has this Therese Bernays who seems to have kind of gotten on steroids or something. And your other question,
the yellow leaves, brown leaves, and then all that's falling off. Yeah.
Were there spots on the leaves? Are they just plain turn yellow?
They kind of slowly turn yellow, and I was watching them, and I put the little dusting of the flower dust, because I didn't know what it was. They're kind of brown, and basically they're falling off. It's kind of getting fewer and fewer leaves, so, you know, it's kind of looking empty or bare now.
There's a couple things that could be going on. It could be just you've got a plant that is has enough damage or has the age to the canes that it's having trouble putting out new growth. Mm-hmm. Or you could have some type of a fungal problem where that it's attacking the leaves, and that, you know, it certainly would be possible. In growing roses, there's a few things that I think are pretty much kind of rules that you need to work on. One is the watering. To me, there's nothing that a rose wants more than water. And I'll go so far as to say if you've got good drainage, it just wants water to go past its roots sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
People will tell me that, this year my roses have been so wonderful. And, you know, we're referring to a season where we've had a lot of rain. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, you know, like, duh, you know, yeah. you're put two and two together. You haven't been watering enough. The other thing is repeat blooming roses. And yours sounds like an old fashioned rose, so that some type of organic fertilizer in the spring is appropriate. But anything repeat blooming roses can benefit tremendously by having additional fertilizer in the summer. And I add always to that is if you put quite a bit of additional fertilizer, which we often can here in the Midwest because we have this big rest period in the wintertime, again, you have to add additional water because you don't want to burn the roots. I mean, the water is number one, and then if you can provide a location that, say, has 6 hours of sun,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good draining soil, and the fertilizer, again, but the water is still number one.
Would you recommend, what kind of fertilizer was, like, can you give me some, I don't know, there's so many different things. What would you recommend, like, a good fertilizer for this rose would be?
Well, you have, it sounds like a one-time blooming, you know, old-fashioned rose. Then we generally recommend as ideal for those is some type of organic fertilizer.
What is that?
If you have compost, if you have composted manure, you can often buy at the garden centers. Those type of things would be perfect for it.
Okay. And then too late for the fertilizer? Or
don't fertilize this time of the year.
Okay. All right. But lots of water. I might be a little bit, the water may be an issue. I sort of thought the rain was doing enough, but maybe that would help it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And more callers online. Joya, let's go to you now in Fitchburg. Hi, Joya.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah. I got two questions. I got two ground covers last year called Red Ribbon. And Prim, they're doing wonderful. My question is, they flower all the way until frost. And I was told by the nursery here that they self-propagate. Is that true?
And I am not sure what they're talking about self-propagate.
Means they spread by themselves?
I suppose that self-propagate is not a term we normally use with roses. So I'm not, but okay, I'm assuming that they are telling you that the plants are going to get large enough that they're going to continue to cover a larger area.
Yes.
I see that. Okay.
So is that true, or do I have to buy more plants? Because I'm trying to cover some area around the bush. And they told me, no, don't wait 2 years until you see how much they cover.
And that's good advice. That's good advice.
Okay. And then
it's probably going to take that long at least to get them to a reasonable size.
Okay. And then do I fertilize them now?
No.
Okay. Second is, what kind of mulch do I use for them?
Any kind of mulch you can have. Anything from leaves that you rake up to straw to just about anything you can. Because you want to protect the base of them over winter.
Okay. Okay. And I have also a climber. Should I use the same kind of a mulch for that too?
What kind of a climber do you have? Do you know the name of it?
Oh, gee, I forgot. No, it's a orange, apricot orange climber. It's like a, you know, Queen Elizabeth, but it's a hybrid climber. And I just put it in last year too, and it boomed. But this year it got Japanese beetles. I saw that.
Yeah.
So I gave up. But, you know, I sprayed with the so-called the rose dust and neem oil. It's not, but they you know, next year it will come back when I trim it. That was my other question. When should I trim it?
Spring.
Spring.
Okay.
Spring. And mulch will never hurt the base of a rose over winter. Never. So, I mean, if you have extra mulch or you can mulch, like your climber, around the base, that it's a really good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And if you use leaves, Lois Ann, do you recommend running them through the lawnmower just so that they don't pack down as much in spring when the snow and all that?
I don't, because I'm probably dealing with quite a few more than most people are. But I don't find it offensive to have the leaves kind of fluffy. It's just that they protect your plant over the summer, especially when you get into the real hot part of the summer. It helps to keep the moisture around the roots. It helps to keep the roots from baking in the sun.
I was thinking over winter.
And over winter, it does protect them. It seems to help hold the snow a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Joya. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking roses today on this edition of Garden Talk with Lois Ann Helgeson, who is a master rosarian, and great to have her with us. And thank you so much for listening here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question or comment about roses as on this edition of Garden Talk, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. email at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Someone was wondering about the best rose for a hedge. What do you think, Lois Ann?
Oh, there's a lot of the different modern shrubs that have, the ones that have developed out of Canada, the Explorer and Parkland series. Also, the very basic ones, for the most inhospitable locations, any of the rugosa roses are very good for hedging. They will grow in a wide variety of locations. Most any of those would work.
Okay.
Depends on how much space you have, obviously.
Sure, of course. An email from Jane: I'm trying to salvage my great-grandfather's roses, a pink, very fragrant rose that blossoms once in early summer. Bush has been transplanted initially from a cemetery in Milwaukee to our home in Milwaukee to our first home in Wausau and now to our second home in Wausau. I'm thinking I might need to transplant it again due to reduced sunlight because of neighboring bushes and plants. What kind of care do I need to give it?
In order to move it?
Yeah.
Is that the okay.
She seems to have had a lot of experience moving it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Just for general information on moving an established rose, and first of all, I'll still go back to what I said before. Anytime you're planting or moving a rose, if you can do it early spring before it starts to grow, that's ideal. I have moved a rather large rose in the fall successfully. So, I mean, you can do it, but it's more risky. Basically, you try to dig it with as much root ball as you can manage to move, because the plant then has more to go on. It's like more like a potted plant to move. It's got the roots. In the fall, or actually very early spring, you can dig it up with fewer roots before it starts to grow. You can almost turn it into a bare root plant. And, you know, depending on the size, that might be something you want to consider. Again, anytime you move a plant, the most important thing, again, is water. I would make sure that for the first few weeks after removing it especially, that you give it extra water. You don't want to have it, we say we don't want its feet to sit in water. In other words, it needs to drain, but you don't want it to be dry out ever.
Let's turn to Alberta in La Crosse next. Hi, Alberta.
Hi there. I had a Diamond Jubilee rose that I had for 59 years, and I had given it to everybody that went to the 60th anniversary. Well, ours was this year, and guess what? It died. So my daughter went online because she thought it was, a rose that, heirloom rose, and it came as a surprise. It came from California. And it was only about 12 inches tall, the green part, and the root ball was only as big as a large orange. It now is about a foot and a half, I'd say, and branching out. I didn't fertilize it. Well, I planted it with bone meal, and then fertilize it every 2 weeks. Well, waited 2 weeks and then fertilized it. And, of course, then I had heard you're not supposed to fertilize your roses in our region after the last of July, which I didn't do. Now, I did listen. I think I'd have to mulch that quite a bit. And do you think it'll make it, being it came from California with such a small root ball?
There's a good chance it will. You need to protect it over winter. And the other thing is that I don't know within the city whether you'd have the same problem, but I also find that rabbits think these nice little bushes are very tasty.
Yes, so, we have that problem for sure and here too.
You want to make sure that you have put some type of a barrier around it.
Uh-huh.
And mulch it very well, but keep it so that the rabbits can't get to it.
Yes.
Because they will eat it to the ground.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I have it on the east side, but my Crimson Glory, which was the same age, didn't do that well either, but it survived. Well, thank you very much.
thanks very much for calling. And yes, good luck, Alberta. And Michael in Sturgeon Bay, we turn to you. Hi, Michael.
Hey, I have a question about a good climbing cultivar that you might recommend for a house over on the lake shore of Door County.
Oh, wow. Out of the Canadian roses that have been developed, there's some that are large plants that we use as climbers. They're not officially classified as climbers. So this is a little side point. Perhaps the hardiest of all of them is William Baffin. William Baffin.
Okay.
And there's also John Cabot and Henry Kelsey. You see, these are all named after Canadian explorers.
Yeah.
Okay.
William Baffin is probably the hardiest and the largest of them.
Yeah, because I've tried a couple cultivars in the past that were rated for Zone 5, and I mulched them heavily, watered them throughout the year and everything like you're supposed to do, and it just didn't make it.
Yeah.
So
I would think the Canadian ones would work.
Okay. Well, right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Jerry in Amherst, on to you now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I have a large pseudo-wild rose that's suckering a lot, which most people seem to think is a bad thing, but I actually want to propagate this and make it spread where it is. So I'm wondering, can I cut and move suckers to kind of, I'd like to create it almost into like a hedge, but I'm wondering how best to do that.
I would wait till spring again and then dig up whatever ones you want and try planting them. I would guess they'd grow.
So nothing special there then to do.
No.
Yeah. Good. That's great.
It should work.
Thanks, Jerry. Janice in Grafton, on to you. Hi, Janice.
Yes. Hi. I know you mentioned about pruning roses in the spring, but I'm wondering when you cut off your spent buds, do you cut down to the right above the fifth branch, or do you just cut off the bud?
That's an old, the cutting down to the fifth or five set of leaves is something that we were taught for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
And I've got a number of friends who are operating some big rose gardens in California, and they've kind of turned me toward doing things a little different. And actually, all I do is go out to the garden and with my fingers just snip off the spent bloom.
Yeah, I've been doing that too.
The portion right underneath where you snap it off will gradually die and just fall off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the only negative at all is that you're not producing the long florist type stems on some of your plants. But for the most part, for myself at least, I don't find that necessary.
No.
And this is a lot easier.
Yeah.
It sure is. And what about black spot? Do I have to buy a chemical to spray on there, or is there something different?
Okay. The scourge of the fungus problems with roses is something that really turns off a lot of people.
Yeah.
I would say that one of the things we've learned is that it's better to do control of fungus problems as a preventative rather than try to beat it down once you get it, once it gets established in your garden. That said, depends on how many plants you have and how much work you're willing to put in and how much damage you're willing to kind of accept.
Well, I've been taking off the branch, the leaves.
Well, okay, then I can go from the least amount of toxicity is something that's people have been trying more recently, and that you could just take a spray bottle and mix half milk and half water and go out and spray them.
Milk? Oh, well, that's interesting.
It puts a coating on the leaves, and it's certainly non-toxic, and it keeps the fungus problems under control. The problem is you have to go back and reapply it whenever it rains, because it, obviously it wears off.
Sure.
For myself, with the number of roses that I have, I do spray the fungicides on a regular basis during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it as that most of these fungicides that are on the market are exceedingly well tested.
Okay.
And if a person follows the correct rules and the amount of application, I believe they're quite safe.
Mm-hmm. Would you do this? I got one more. Would do the same thing for the hibiscus, if that has black spot on the leaves with the milk and the water?
I don't know what the application would be for hibiscus. I will tell you that it's not the same black spot that you get on the roses that they get. So I don't know how it would work. It might work.
Now, when leaves yellow, is that an indication of too much water or too little, or a combination?
I guess I would have to see the plant. I can't diagnose with just the yellow leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
well. It might not necessarily be too much water or too little water. It might be something else entirely.
Absolutely.
Might have the fungus problem too.
Yeah.
That would add to it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank
You're welcome.
Very much for calling. Appreciate your call. What's your favorite rose, by the way, Lois?
Mine.
Yeah, Lois.
Oh Lordy, maybe I'll just kind of answer that a roundabout way. I have one bed of roses that are all red roses and purple roses. And I have to say that bed is my favorite in my yard.
All right. Very good. Lois Ann Helgeson, Master Rosarian, our guest, as we talked with her about roses, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Honey, everything's coming up roses. Clear the decks, clear the tracks. You got nothing to do but relax. Blow a kiss, take a bow. Honey, everything's coming up roses.
You know, and that's what's coming up here on Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. We're talking roses today with Lois Ann Helgeson. She is a master rosarian. She's going to be speaking at the North Central District Convention and Rose Show in Pewaukee this weekend. So really looking forward to talking with her some more about roses and to learning about the convention that's coming up. It's actually starting this afternoon, but the big events for most of us will be Saturday and Sunday. You may have some questions about your own roses or maybe about growing some roses. Maybe you don't do it yet, but would like to. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page. Just go to The Larry Mueller Show. And, Lois, before we go back to the phones, let's talk a little about the convention. It's going to be quite an event.
Yeah, it's fun. It's the North Central District is composed of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And so somewhere in that vicinity, we put on a district-wide convention and rose show each year.
And this year it's in Milwaukee, or in Pewaukee.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, at the Country Springs Hotel?
Correct.
At the Water Park and Conference Center. And I expect, as a matter of fact, we have a link on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can go online and see all the different activities, but there's some judging and obviously speaking. You're going to be speaking among others.
Yes, we have the Rose Show is tomorrow morning. People will bring their entries late tonight and early tomorrow morning. It'll be judged, and the show will be open to the public, I believe, by afternoon. And during the afternoon, there are a couple of us who are speaking that people could listen to. And, we finish the evening with a banquet, and there's a tour of gardens on Sunday.
Okay.
But it's a fun time.
And again, if you want to learn some more about it, just go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Probably also go to Greater Milwaukee Rose Society. We'll also have it if you just want to type that in as well.
Sure.
We have Joan in Eau Claire with a question for you. So let's go to Joan. Hi, Joan. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for the show, Larry.
Sure.
Kathleen and Joy are my absolute favorites. My question is, May 2009, our children presented me with lovely cane roses for Mother's Day, and they bloomed beautifully throughout 2009. fall of 2009 against my advice. My husband chopped them. And they did come back in 2010. They grew very tall. The canes grew tall, and they bloomed late. Once again, I reminded him, you know, you're not supposed to prune those roses. Of course, he did, to 6 inches in fall of 2010, and this year they were nothing.
Yeah.
So I haven't purchased any new ones yet, but I learned today that you should only prune very little and in the spring. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. It's, our climate is harsher than lots of the areas of the country where that you can. There are places people actually will take a chainsaw to some of the roses. We can't do that here. They won't survive. We don't have enough of a root system to be able to bring back the plant. The plant expends too much energy to try to replace those canes. It just doesn't. It's not a good idea to try to prune that heavily.
Is your husband listening?
Well, he'll be listening tonight when I tell him about the program.
Okay.
Yeah, he's well aware, because I haven't pulled the canes out, he's well aware that they're still there and not blooming. And our children are quite dismayed that, oh, their dad was responsible for the pruning of the canes. And it was their gift to me, so I think he might be punished enough.
Keep in mind also, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what type of rose it is that you have, but if it's something that is a one-time bloomer, then by pruning them in the fall, you've taken away any chance that it's going to bloom the next year just by doing that. If it's something that repeat blooms, a heavier pruning can sometimes be, they can survive and it can still bloom the next year.
What if you don't cut back at all?
You know, if you don't cut back at all in the fall, and if you only take out in almost any of my roses, the only thing I do is prune out the damaged or dead canes and stuff in the spring. And most of them, for me, don't need more than that. Again, you're trying to plant a particular variety in a location where it can handle the size of the mature plant. So I guess I most of the time don't have that problem of a plant getting too big or whatever.
All right. There you go.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Peggy Sue in Brilliant. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. It's an honor to talk to you today and listen. It's awesome. I'm known as the Rose Queen at Stewart's Garden Center and Landscaping in Oshkosh.
Good.
And
great.
I deal with questions like you're getting today every day. One product that I do want to pass on as a helpful hint to those who grow different roses. I basically sell mostly Floribundus in the spring for bud and bloom for Mother's Day. There are certain ones that our customers have fallen in love with. Julia Child is one. Sentimental is another that I just can't order enough of those. But the one product that we found that works really well for people is called 3-in-1 by Bayer. It has a simple ingredient of imipropyl in it, which is nothing more than what you find in a dog collar for fleas.
Imidacloprid.
Yes, thank you. I never can get that pronunciation thing right. But I find it's very useful, and I've had several, my customers give me a lot of feedback on that. Plus, I am selling just hundreds of Rugosa roses for those people who are just so busy and just can't do all the cares. They're just so easy. You give them Miracle-Gro for roses and once a month, and they do really well. They don't have a lot for diseases. It's been just absolutely wonderful selling them. And I'm wondering what your take is on the Rugosa roses, that lady with the Teresa Bonet. That's really odd for a Teresa Bonet.
Yeah, it is. You know, I absolutely agree with you that Rugosa roses are the most versatile of the shrub roses that we have. The only negative I can add that I've figured out this year, I think the Japanese beetles are especially partial to them.
Yeah, and with us, I have the John Davis climbing rose in the Explorer series, and that one, they just devastate mine every year in Brilliant. Down to stems. Them and the gypsy moth. We're starting to get the gypsy moth caterpillars.
The Japanese beetles prefer the light-colored roses. They prefer those that open centers. But they'll eat just about anything if they can, you know,
yes.
get close to it.
I wish I could hear your seminar or what you're speaking this weekend. I'm so busy that I just can't, but that sounds wonderful. Another thing about winterizing roses that I really pass on a care sheet for roses for my customers. And one thing I tell them is don't buy those rose cones. They choke off roses in the winter. Roses need to breathe. They need to be a little cold. They need to feel the dampness of the snow. And I usually suggest to them to just pull up the bark around the bottom of the rose and dome that part of the rose where the energy is stored. I don't know how you feel about that. I kind of want your perks on that because you have a lot more experience than I do.
It depends on the type of roses. I winter protect in more than one way depending on which roses, which grouping of roses that I have. And maybe one of the things that I can explain is that a collection of roses that I'm speaking on tomorrow are the hybrid perpetuals, and those are hardy at the most to zone 5. I'm in zone 4. Okay, I can grow them with a lot of success because of how I situate them. I put them along two fences on two sides of our property that I get reliable snow cover. So that is one of these things, you know, the snow plow piles it up on the one side and our driveway and my neighbor's driveway pile it up on the other one. And you know what? That's all they need. That works perfectly. So sometimes if people are looking for easy ways of winter protecting something, they can situate their flower bed in a place where that they get some help.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Peggy. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. I have some open lines. I'll get you on pretty quickly. Quite a few emails and such. Karen in Appleton wonders what the appropriate time of year is to prune the rugosa bush. We were kind of talking about that. She's not sure if she should be worried about the risk of pests or diseases getting into the cuts. Again, that's a spring thing. If you're going to,
that's generally a spring thing. But the only other thing that with rugosas that we have noticed is that there is a borer, an insect that will bore toward the bottom of a cane. And they particularly like rugosa roses and species roses. And so if you see, for instance, a whole cane on a rugosa rose that turns brown, look down the cane, and if you see a slight swelling in the cane toward the bottom or a few inches above the ground, you realize that that is where the borer has gone in and destroyed the tissue of the cane. And you need to prune that whole cane out below that point and dispose of that cane because you don't want to allow the life cycle of that insect to continue. So this is something that you kind of have to be a little bit vigilant, but it's usually pretty darn obvious when a cane borer has entered a rugosa because you will notice the dieback. In that case, you definitely prune it out, whether it's, you know, winter, spring, summer, fall, because you want to get rid of it. But other than that, rugosas, like any other rose, they're best to be pruned in spring. Well, the other point would be is that with the hardy roses, pruning them in the spring is when they've dropped their leaves, and you can see the shape of the bush, you can see where the damage is. It's actually easier to do it in the spring.
Yep. We got a Facebook question from Jim. Would you please speak about the David Austin Gertrude Jekki? I lose the canes every winter, but they still flower in the late season.
Gertrude Jekyll is wonderfully fragrant David Austin roses. It's actually one that I use in a presentation I give on fragrance. It's kind of a complex fragrance. It's really kind of neat. But anyway, okay. It's the top of the plant is borderline hardy. And obviously, whoever this is, they're doing something right because they're keeping the graft union, the base of the plant, intact so that it puts out new canes. And the only thing they can do different is try to somehow either, like I said, plant where they get snow cover or find some way to heavily mulch or, you know, add something additional to protect those canes, because obviously they're having dieback because of the winter. And so the plant has to start over, and luckily it repeat blooms so that they can still get some bloom during the year.
Email from Margot. In the spring, I planted a climbing rose called Blaze. Recently, it developed black spots on the leaves, which I've been treating with a solution of a tablespoon baking soda and a few drops of liquid soap in a quart of water. I've also been removing infected leaves as I see them. This has slowed the upward progression but not eliminated it. Meanwhile, there's little foliage on the bottom third of the plant. This is my first climbing rose experience. I'd also like to know general information on how to grow this type of rose in terms of fertilizing, pruning, preparing for winter. The pictures I've seen of Blaze are quite impressive, and I sure hope I can grow one as beautiful as the pictures.
Well, you're doing one of the easier things to do with controlling fungus. Baking soda and horticultural oil is something Cornell University experimented with, and that's another one like the milk and water that actually does have some effectiveness to control black spot. But if you want to do something beyond that, then you have to go to basically a chemical control. Cleaning up the leaves, like you're saying, that works, that helps. That you're all doing, that's all toward the right end. Growing a climber in the upper Midwest, many times we can be successful, sometimes accidentally successful, but we're all always kind of working on this borderline bit with because of our cold temperatures in the winter. I'm guessing that Bill Radler's I'm trying to think of the name of it. All of a sudden, the Red Rose, the one that he's done all the knockout series and Ramblin' Red might be one of the hardier red climbers that you could try growing here. That isn't one of the Canadian ones. The Canadian ones are also hardy and they would go really well. Blaze, I am guessing, and this is just a guess. I'm not sure exactly where you're located as far as zone hardiness zones. Might again be one of these that are fairly borderline, and so you may get it through winter, you may be okay, you may not. I'm not quite sure.
Jeff in Milwaukee has a question for you, or a comment. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, what caught my interest was when you were talking about the snow insulation for the roses, and I'm a firm believer in snow insulation because of my mother. My mother buys the cheapest roses. She gets them at Aldi's, okay? And they have turned into the most beautiful. I mean, they look better than the botanical gardens we have here. And what interests me about the snow insulation is these roses are all on the side of her driveway. And I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We get a lot of snow. And when we plow this driveway, all these roses are buried. I mean, they're literally buried, okay? And they turn out to be the most beautiful roses come spring and summer. I mean, you could go to my mother's house right now, and she has full, huge roses, okay? Now, the roses in her backyard where it doesn't get much snow insulation, she uses the styrofoam tunnels. They're nice, but they don't even come close to the size of the roses, the height, the blooms. It's just night and day.
Yeah. And that's the difference.
And come springtime, or come fall, my mom actually does what she, I've been listening to your show, what she should be doing, and she actually prunes these things. I mean, she cuts a lot off them, and it never, I'm like, Mom, they're not going to come back, and they come back every year. Every year, she hasn't bought a rose in years. Okay? These are from like 4 or 5 years ago at Aldi's.
My story is probably just as good. My first dozen roses I bought in a clearance at Target from these little bagged roses. And, I had at least one of those 20 years. So, it's certainly...
But my mom does have a green thumb. I mean, literally has a green thumb. I was telling the young lady before, my mom could plant a rock and I believe it would grow a tree.
Well, your mother and I are unlike in many ways. Jeff, thank you very much for calling.
Appreciate it. Nice to hear her story. Yes.
Yes, it's great. So snow is great. And you talked earlier about winter preparation, but maybe just review that a little bit, how to get those roses. I mean, it varies depending on the type of rose, but.
Absolutely. The hardy old garden roses, the Canadian developed roses, most of those, I actually do nothing. I mean, after the first year, first winter, I will mulch them just because the root system isn't really established and you want to kind of protect that a little bit from the changing temperatures. And like we were told once at the university that in our climate, it's not even just all the cold temperatures, it's how fast maybe the temperatures drop in the fall. If you have a huge temperature drop in November or something when the plants aren't hard enough, well enough, or it's the up and down temperatures in the spring that also damage plants. So, I mean, it's not just the minus whatever degrees we get in the winter, middle of the winter. But the next step, there's some of my roses like the Griffith Buck roses that are from Iowa. I basically mound the bases of them with some soil and then put a mulch on those. Those seem to do fairly well. Not as well as the ones that are almost the same hardiness zone that get the snow cover, but then I kind of pick and choose which ones I want to give that treatment to. Then those who are more tender, I actually do, literally, like I said, bury them. And I do this because I'm a little bit obsessive about this and I want these all to survive. And I lose very few roses. So it's kind of depends on finding out what hardiness a particular plant can handle, or where they are at in this whole scheme of things, because there is a wide range. And even among those that are tender, there's some that are more tender than others. As far as winter protection, I usually look at the calendar, and we kind of push it into saying, well, you have to get them down by Halloween, and the Halloween blizzard that we had at 1 year certainly showed that. I got mine down 2 days before. And then we say bringing them up a tax day, April 15th. Well, okay, that's roundabout. But what I look at are the nighttime temperatures. The most tender roses basically don't handle temperatures much below 20 degrees. So, I mean, they could take freezing. But that's where I watch is the nighttime temperatures. If they're getting down into the 20s, then I know it's either time to bury them or it's time to bring them up. If the nighttime temperatures are staying above 20 degrees.
Some very good tips there. And we have an email from Ellie I wanted to bring in because she has absolutely no full sun areas in her garden. Are there any hardy rose varieties that'll work there? You know, bloom in partial sunlight?
You're going to be stretching it a bit, but I would look, if you want old garden roses, the Alba roses are the most shade tolerant, and otherwise it's the Rugosas. You're right back to those.
And Beth in Brookfield, Howard would like some more information on how to water roses in 40 seconds or so. Can you tell us that?
You're best not to get a lot of it on the leaves because you're promoting the fungus growth. I use soaker hoses, and I tell people that I water then when I need to, not when I get around to it.
Yeah, that's probably a very good idea. And frankly, try to do that with tomato plants and all other kinds of things as well.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Well, Lois Ann, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much. And you'll be at the North Central District Rose Show and Convention tomorrow speaking. It's at in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I want to let people know, just go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. You'll find out more about the timing of the events, costs, and so forth. Real pleasure. Thank you so much, Lois Ann.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Lois Ann Helgeson, Master Rosarian, and she'll be speaking at the North Central District Convention and Rose Show in Pewaukee tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Monday, we'll talk about the upcoming Sheep and Wool Festival, and at 11:45, our weather guys join us. Thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.